Hey guys, the new arc is about to start, but I want to thank our sponsor, Studio, real quick. I'm going to tell you more about these awesome headphones they sent me during the mid-roll, but for now, let me just say that they are pretty sweet. The sound quality is great, and for Bluetooth, they are pretty affordable. All right, I won't take up any more of your time, but let's hear the recap.
Last time on Thornvale.
The two fireballs explode in your hands. You toss one and then the other. They explode into a thousand chunks.
Oh, man.
They cover Bjorn and Ben Lasky in clay.
So Bjorn pulls out his 9mm and jams it up against Ben Lasky's skull and says, "Send it away now or I end you."
He says, "You might want to turn around." You see the man on the edge of the trestle. He is looking towards you and he's holding a knife to his own throat.
I want to yell, "Bjorn, lay off the kid."
Well, I would prefer it if you weren't killing innocent people.
Innocent? Those people are the reason that my life is over.
I had an abusive, drunk dad, just like you do. And it sucks. It really does suck. But this is not the way to fix it. Never talk to him again. Just completely block him out of your life and pretend like he never existed. That is the best way to screw him over.
And you can see like tears streaming down his face and he says, "Let him go." And it says, "You know, I finally figured out what you are, witch child. And you're in trouble."
I have to be honest with you. I don't think I can stop you from doing this again. I'm going to need to bring you to people that I believe can help or at least keep you from hurting others.
Miguel says, "Yeah, all right. Yeah, fine. Yeah, bring the warlock to the secret base. That's, yeah, all right, sure. We'll try to rehabilitate him."
I'll call out Elise.
Right in front of you, someone's hood comes off and you see their entire body. She looks at you and smiles and says, "Hi, Sammy. I'm sorry about using your friend's phone, but I really need to talk to you. Sammy, I'm your mother. When I found out that I had you, I was so excited. I was looking forward to it, but my coven, they demanded that when you were born, I give you to them. But every time you use magic, whether consciously or not, you're sending out signals that say, 'Hey, come eat me.' My brother will explain everything that I haven't been able to, I promise." Blue steps forward and he says, "My real name is Anthony, and your mother, Helena, is my sister." And you hear, "Bjorn, I don't know what you did, but thank you. For now, I'm just happy to finally be able to close a case." Hello and welcome back to Thornvale. I think last arc went interestingly, I think is what I can say about that. And I am looking forward to getting into this new arc, but before we get started, I want to shout out our social medias because we haven't done it in a while and apparently my dad doesn't know that we have a Facebook. So we are facebook.com/Thornvale. We are on Instagram at Thornvale Podcast, and we are on Twitter at Thornvale Cast. I would have preferred to be Thornvale Podcast everywhere, but things don't let me do what I want to do. So that's what we've got now. So yeah, so if you want to find us any of those places, we would love to have you there, and you can find updates of production. You can find our little quotes before the episodes come out. Those are always fun. And if you want to talk to us directly, you are much more likely to find us on the Podcast Junkie Discord server. We have our own channel there. We love, love, love talking with fans of the show. And if you want to join us there, then you can find the link in all of the show notes from now on. And you can also find it pinned to the top of our Twitter page. And I think the last thing I want to do is to say again that we have stickers. And if you would like a sticker with the Thornvale logo on it, they're really cool, and we would love for you to have one. You can find the link also in our show notes for this week, and I post occasionally about them on Twitter or something like that. So you can find them there. They're at teespring.com. I actually don't know what the... Let me look that up real quick. Yeah, so you can find them on teespring.com/stores/thornvale-store. So if you want to find us there, if you would like a Thornvale sticker, you can get a Sammy sticker, a Bjorn sticker, a Henry sticker with their full bodies, or you can get the logo sticker. And with that, I would like to get into the episode.
Yeah.
What? What are you pointing at me? What are you pointing at? What? Oh. Right. Before we begin, it is a very special person's birthday.
Oh.
It is my husband, Andrew, the player of Bjorn. And that was a weird way of saying that. But anyways, I just want to say, happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
They can't hold the tone.
Happy birthday to you, Andrew.
Happy birthday to you.
Yes.
It's really hard.
Oh, that's
going to
sound great.
Over Skype.
Yes.
No, I think that's hilarious. That needs to stay in.
That needs to be. Either.
That was terrible.
You either stay in or you make it an outtake.
Happy birthday, Andrew.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
The worst happy birthday.
You're my favorite person. I'm really happy to have you on the show.
Well, I'm really happy to be on the show. So.
All right, that was god awful. Let's get on with the show.
Hold on a second. I wanted to say one thing in response.
That?
I was just going to say, because it's my birthday while we're recording this episode, I have to say that I believe in fairness and playing the game and not taking it easy on me. But at the same time, if you kill Bjorn today, you're a horrible person. So I just felt the need to say that.
Well, that is not the plan.
But we'll
the
see.
Dice may betray you, but I will not.
Okay. You have a convenient out. I'll allow it.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go with that. All right. So, it has been about a week since your last encounter. It has been about an hour since the portal opened up and Bjorn and Henry watched a whole bunch of tiny creatures spew forth and blink into non-existence and escape. It is also 2 days before the annual Thornvale Summer Solstice Parade.
Oh, boy.
I would like to know, I assume Henry and Bjorn probably went back to the fort to go talk to Stanley and Miguel.
I can only assume that's the one that makes the most sense after seeing something like that.
Yeah, does that make sense to you, Andrew?
Yeah, I agree. I think Bjorn would have gone straight back to the base with Henry
after
seeing what they saw.
So you guys cut your gun practice short, and you run back to, well, you boat back, because Andrew's going to be pedantic.
Mm-hmm. Hey!
It's true. You
yeah,
boat
but
back.
We gotta capture that stuff. We got to be accurate. Otherwise, somebody who's pedantic like me is going to go back and say that we did something wrong.
Actually, I think that
you never know.
I think that already happened once in the Discord. I saw one today.
What was that?
It was something like, I think it was J-24 who said something about.
Yeah, it was me.
Yes, it was to do with your character, Andrew, because you were acting.
I hadn't learned yet. Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
In the first arc, I told the widow that I worked for a government agency because that was like the only way that I could convince her that I was trying to help her.
Oh,
so it's
right.
Because I failed at roles that I had to like.
Oh, I see.
Myself.
I see. I found the comment.
And then he's
when
like,
Bjorn
not two
interviews
episodes later. Yeah.
Yeah. When Bjorn interviews the widow in the first arc, he tells her that he works for a special branch of the government that specializes in this kind of thing, and is then still somehow shocked when 2 episodes later, yes, Henry infers that he's part of the Monster Hunters and questions how people found out his secret branch of the government, that there's rumors out there about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's why I try to catch that stuff. But at the same time, you know, it is an actual play and it's not scripted. So we're bound to make mistakes.
Yeah.
We're not perfect. We're people.
Yeah, it's all good. It just made me laugh.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys head back to the fort in whatever form you feel like. It's broad daylight, so I assume you're not going to be flying.
No, not unless we ought to be shot down.
Regardless, you arrive at the fort, and you go looking for Stanley. And a couple of minutes later, you find Stanley where he has been very frequently lately, and he is looking in through the window of Ben's cell. And let me just say, I never expected to have this part of the story arc when I was planning these.
Mm.
But Stanley is watching Ben in his cell. What do you do?
Just having a brain fart because I assumed I was going to start off the episode with talking about what I did in the last week, but the pre thing kind of messed that up.
Okay, well,
So I need to actually think about what I'd do.
Henry walks up and looks in beside him, and
what you see is you see the boy that you guys rescued is curled up on the cot that he is in. His room looks like pretty nice. It's got like its own like, you know, it's got a not too uncomfortable looking cot. He's got a what's the word? He's got like a dresser that has some clothes in it for him. It's attached to a bathroom so he can, you know, do that whenever he needs to. And he is curled up on his cot and he seems to be shaking.
Okay. And then I turn and look at Stanley, who's still, you know, he's not looking at me, but I turn and look at him. I'm like, what did you do?
And he gives a slow, like, sort of humorless chuckle, and he says, I didn't do anything. It's his reaction to the room. And he gestures around the room, and he says, inside the walls are a bunch of anti-magic field. So nothing from the rifts can come in here. Every wall in the building is like this, so we didn't want the rift monsters coming in here and causing problems, but this particular room is very, very enforced. Or very, very reinforced.
Well,
so he can't do magic, and... Well, he looks back at the kid for a second. It became such a part of his life that it was kind of like a drug. And being without it is kind of like coming off of one.
Mm. Well, as much as you would love to, go without the rifts causing any problems, I think we can draw our tally back to zero on that.
And he turns around and kind of sighs and says, what now?
Honestly, I don't know. We were just out at the range taking some shots and then I had never been so close to one before. It just opened, and then there were these tiny, it would seem like really tiny objects, insects, whatever they were. I couldn't even tell. They were there for just a split second, then they all just disappeared, and
Henry, Wesley, I would like to say insects would be unlikely because they were about 5 inches tall.
Okay, I wasn't sure what to call.
Giant
really
insects.
Really huge insects.
The plague.
So I realized that you guys wouldn't have been able to see like much of these creatures because they disappeared as soon as they showed up, but they looked like very small little, like, they were like colored black. They had really big heads, but they looked vaguely humanoid.
Okay, so
just so you know.
Okay, so do I infer this to Stanley, or
yeah, sure.
Okay, well,
you explain what you saw,
or I could just go back and redo that part. It's up to you.
No, it's fine.
All right. So yeah, they were there for just a split second, and they just disappeared. I have no idea where they went.
And Stanley just sort of shakes his head and says, well, without knowing what they are or what their powers are other than, I guess, either invisibility or teleportation, it's hard to know what kind of havoc they're going to cause, but the good news is we know something's going to happen. So we can prepare for something, I guess. The bad news is we don't know what that something is going to look like whatsoever.
Is there any way we can... I'm guessing all we can do is just monitor. I mean, you got to have a way to do that, right?
Well, now that we know something's going on, we're definitely going to monitor our sources and see if there's anything we can notice.
And how's Miguel? All right?
And he nods and he says, yeah, he's working on something in his workshop, as always.
Oh. And Henry just sort of perks up a little and thinks, oh, is he there now? Do you know? Have you seen him today?
He's usually there.
Then I think Henry is, now that I've explained it, I think Henry's going to go check out the workshop, see what Miguel's got going on.
Okay. Bjorn, did you want to...
Well, I was just going to say, so Bjorn was just kind of hanging back, letting Henry, you know, explain everything. He explained it well, so he didn't feel the need to chime in at all. But now that they've passed it on and we're kind of in a hold status, he's going to turn to Stanley and say, so how has he been in there, Ben?
And he looks back over in there and he says, he's not feeling too good right now. But I think he'll get there eventually. It's just his body needs to get used to not using magic all the time.
I'd like to go in and talk to him for a second. Has he had food recently or water or anything? I mean...
He says he had lunch an hour or two ago.
Okay. Well, I'll go check in on him real
and
quick then.
And Stanley puts his hand on your arm and he says, I'm not sure that's a good idea right now. I think we need to let him be alone for a bit. Let him come off the magic. Then you can talk to him.
Okay. I just wanted him to know that we were, you know, still here, I guess. Not leaving him in a box forever, if you catch my drift.
Yeah, he knows, but...
I'll hold off. I think
I think
you're probably right.
whether he's happy about it or not, he wants this. He wants to be able to be somewhere magic isn't.
Yeah, that's pretty good advice. I'll leave him be for now.
And Stanley turns to you and he says, "So, have you called Sammy in on this yet?"
No, actually, I kind of forgot in the rush to get over here. I'll text her.
Yeah, you might want to get in on that.
Yeah.
And then he turns around and takes one more look at the door to the cell and then walks down the hallway. Bjorn, as you are leaving, you hear kind of in the distance, this area has like a lot of different cells in it. And you haven't really been here much before, but you hear in the distance sort of a muffled, almost like a roar in the distance in the cell.
Like in the cell block, you mean?
It just in down the hall somewhere.
Yeah. Would this happen to be that that hallway that Stanley, the first time we were ever in the base, or Henry, I guess, was ever in the base, when he was kind of shuffling him along and getting him to not look at it too closely?
Uh-huh. And when Stanley hears the roar, he says, come on, Bjorn. And then keeps walking, expecting you to follow him.
Okay, I'll follow him. For now.
Take the bait.
Mysterious creature in the cell.
So, the reason I included that scene is, well, I have several reasons, but mostly because Andy reminded me.
I reminded her it existed a little while ago.
Yeah. I just wanted to remind the audience that that exists, because it'll come up later.
You never know.
Maybe not this arc. But one down the road. Who knows? We'll see. All right. Let's real quick go to Henry. Henry is going to go visit Miguel, right? So you knock on the door, and Miguel says, come on in.
And I walk over to Miguel. What's Miguel doing? Is it the work table?
Hmm? Yeah, so he is working on something in the middle of the room. And from what you can tell, this thing is like a giant crossbow.
Nice. And Henry looks at it and he you know, he's running it through his own brain, and he can pretty much infer what it's supposed to look like eventually. And he just looks at it and looks at Miguel. He's like, what kind of size of a human could lift that thing? What is that for?
And he laughs and he says, well, it's an arbalest. It's meant to be mounted.
I was going to say that would be kind of,
I thought maybe there's been a lot of monsters lately. So I thought maybe I'd mount one to the top of the fort and, just in case, you know?
Oh yeah. Yeah. believe me, I got pancaked last time. I know.
And he says, yeah, I remember that.
Hmm. Well, wanted to say, thanks for the work on my knives. They look, they look pretty sweet, if I'm honest.
And for a second, he kind of like looks at you like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then, because it was like so it was like so many projects ago for him. And then he's like, oh, yeah, the knives. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you like them.
And Henry sort of looks at him and he's like, well, hey, I know that haven't been around much because of all monster problem, but you okay in here? You don't seem to come out that much.
And he just gestures to all the weapons and all the little gadgets that he's made, and he says, well, this is kind of my happy place, you know?
Henry takes a look around at everything, and he's just like, this slight eyebrow raise, and he's like, yeah, I get it.
All right, so from that, I want to go to Sammy. Hannah, what is Sammy up to right now?
Good question.
It's about midday, just so you know.
This has been a week of relaxation for her. She needs to rest and recuperate. So she's probably in her apartment, just doing something chill. Probably watching Netflix or something like that.
All right. Not Netflix and chill.
Yeah, not that kind.
Yeah, okay. So Sammy is Netflixing and chilling. So your phone buzzes, and it's a text from Bjorn saying, Bjorn, what did you say?
I would have just said, Henry and I just saw a rift open. Looks like we got another one. Get to the base.
All right. So
now,
what does Sammy do?
Have Bjorn and I had the talk in this past week?
I don't know. Have you guys had the talk in the last week?
I think I would have gotten to her as soon as I possibly could. That's why I was wondering if there is like within the last week kind of backflash stuff we might do. I'm not sure.
I don't really want to like role play through it, but just give me a short like
a flavor of what it
flavor
was.
Flavor of what you said to her. Yeah.
So the flavor of what I would have told her, this will answer probably a lot of questions for the listeners, because it wasn't really, you know, certain, you know, what do Dragon Knights really think about witch children? And, you know, Bjorn definitely reacted to that when he learned and had to, like, kind of figure out how he was going to talk to her about it. So when they finally sat down, he would have told her something to the effect that, you know, witch children are inherently magical, which is a huge difference from witches and warlocks who are just human beings using magic and they can get corrupted by it. So I think the first thing he probably would have said to assure her, like reassure her, is that she's not going to be corrupted the same, like she's not going to, you know, fall for the same kind of corruption as other people would. And because of that, Dragon Knights don't really know what to make of witch children. Like, we don't outright hunt them and hate them like we do witches. They're just kind of oddities for us too, that we don't really know how to handle. So he would have been very clear with her, hey, like, you know, I know you now at this point, and, you know, I trust you, so we'll do what we can to help you through this kind of thing, is what he would have ended on, I think.
That's very nice of him.
So, yeah. So, and Bjorn, I also want to make it clear, because we were talking about it, but I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to roleplay it, but you also told Miguel and Stanley about it.
Exactly,
yeah. I think neither one of those, I think, has gotten to talk to Sammy yet, just because, like, it's Sammy has been taking a Sammy week.
Yeah, she probably hasn't been around.
The only thing I need to know is from Sammy or from Hannah, would Sammy have told them about all the stuff to do with her mom? I imagine probably not the stuff to do with Blue, whose real name I have already forgotten.
Because we have no idea about the order.
But is it Anthony?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's in the episode. I'll have to write it down somewhere. I forgot.
Yes, it's Anthony.
That's a good question. She doesn't really like sharing about her personal life, so I don't know if she would. She might give, I think she'll probably say her mom, but not give any of, like, the details. Like, give as little detail as possible. Like, enough for them to understand the situation, but not any of, like, the actual, like, dialogue and things like that.
So does she say that she came to visit you?
Yeah. Probably that, my mom found me or something along those lines.
Okay. Interesting. And so, Bjorn, what is kind of your, like, your, what would have been your reaction to that, just kind of flavor-wise?
That would have been a little bit, I'll say, rockier. So he knows that the mom is a witch and really doesn't know what to make of that. Especially because, like, he would have asked, like, so that was, like, the person leaving, like, the silver cards and everything, and I assume Sammy would have been able to infer that and say yes to that question, right? So he probably would have been wary just because he doesn't know the mom, saying, like, you know, I don't know if Sammy would have said it, but he knows that witches eat their children, so he would have been like, so she didn't come after you at all. And then Sammy would have said,
"Yeah, no,
I
not
guess,
yet.
Yeah.
yeah."
Like we said, we're not trying to roleplay this out, but that's kind of the flavor of it. Is he doesn't really know what to make of that because it seems off to him.
Yeah.
He doesn't trust it, basically.
That's understandable.
Yeah,
but as far as you know, she's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Sammy didn't say anything about Blue because
that's
different can
that's
of worms.
Hush,
now,
hush.
I think the only other thing that Bjorn would have done then is after having that talk with her, learning about the mom, he would have said, "So, you know, as far as magic is concerned, I mean, I'm not really. What were your like?" He would have asked what her thoughts were on using or not using magic.
So, what are Sammy's thoughts about magic?
She's honestly overwhelmed by everyone being like, oh, magic, 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 you have magic, 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 can't use the magic, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think she has decided how she feels about it yet. I think she's, one of the reasons why she's isolated herself this past week is because she's trying to avoid it.
Yeah,
that's fair.
So I think in closing then to that, Bjorn would have closed off with, well, you know, I'll leave you alone for now, I understand, that's a lot to take in, just know that you can talk to us about it because we know a thing or two about magic.
Yeah, a little bit. All right. So I think Sammy is sitting here probably trying to watch Netflix, but I think probably her mind is flashing back to this conversation and you've been trying to distract yourself, trying to relax, but there's just so much that happened in the last the last week, trying to deal with everything that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a message on your phone saying what again?
That Henry and I saw a rift open. Looks like we got another one. Get to the base.
Right. So what do you do?
I'm going to get my new crossbow out of my Amazon Prime box. And
yeah, okay. So you ordered a crossbow from Amazon.
Yes. 2-day shipping with Prime. I looked it up. It is a real thing that you can do.
That's crazy.
Can you order ammo?
I didn't look up ammo, like actual like arrows. And you can even, like, for the crossbow, you can pay in installments. So you can just set up a payment plan away.
That's awesome.
Well, I don't think all of your bolts were destroyed.
Yeah.
Just your crossbow.
Yes. But I will open it up out of its shiny new box and head over to the base.
Awesome.
So I'm going to be pedantic and I have a question for you. Does that mean that it's no longer an ancient weapon now?
I was thinking about that, and I guess technically it's not. So she probably has like a more modern crossbow now?
I suppose.
I guess.
So that means she loses her
ancient... I doubt
you
ordered an ancient crossbow.
Yeah. Which means she would lose her ancient weapon plus for fighting with an ancient weapon.
For the crossbow. I still have the silver knife.
For the crossbow,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the knife you're still...
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Yeah, sure. That's fine. Hey guys, I'm not feeling amazing, so I'll try to make this as quick as possible. As always, the time code to skip to if you hate ads is 33 minutes and 14 seconds. That said, there's a lot of cool announcements this week, so stay tuned. First off, our next Dragon Knights One-Shots show with the cast of The Crit Show is on October 24th at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. You can follow us now on twitch.tv/DragonKnightsOneShots. That's Knights with a K if you want to get ready for the show. In other news, I have a book coming out on Halloween that is actually set in the same world as the Thornvale and One-Shots show. Technically, it's three novellas wrapped into one book, so it's pretty easy to read. The series is called Deep Hollow. Here's a quick blurb. After moving to a small town in Vermont, a teenage boy uses his special dragon abilities to fight supernatural evils, along with a feisty Irish-American boy with similar powers and a genius girl with an eidetic memory. If that sounds like something up your alley or you want to know more about the Dragon Knights universe, be on the lookout for the first Deep Hollow book on Halloween. Now, as I mentioned in the pre-roll, we have a new sponsor that we love called Studio. They actually sent me a pair of their Regent 2 headphones. First off, these things look great. The design is really stylish. They also fit great and they don't slide around on my head, which I really appreciate. It also has a super long battery life, which I love because honestly, I forget to plug my Bluetooth stuff in all the time. Most importantly, they sound awesome. If you want to get your own, you can get 15% off any purchase by using the code THORNVALE, all lowercase letters. You won't regret it, trust me. Now, allow our friends over at the Dice Girls to tell you about their amazing and charming show.
The Dice Girls may not know what we're doing, but we're sure having a lot of fun doing it.
Do my bagpipes have, like, attack damage?
If I take out my bow, could I miss and hit Trigus?
If you roll bad enough.
Have we been able to see the whole time?
You have dark vision! Surprise!
What ho, ugly creature.
Don't mind him. Everyone's dying around me, but I can't hit anything!
Are you guys gonna be okay?
Honestly, I think the answer to that is always no.
Who are you?
I'm just some riffraff.
Not anything particularly special.
We are the Dice Girls.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
I rolled a 4, we're gonna die.
And back to the show. So you toss your crossbow in the back of your... I mean, you probably are a little more ginger than that. You set it nicely in the back of your car.
Yes.
And you start driving down to the docks. As you are driving down to the docks, the traffic is really heavy for some reason. Like it's unusual. This is just like a regular afternoon. It's probably like Monday. Like, it's really odd for, like, the traffic to be super heavy at, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And as you drive closer, you realize that the big holdup is that there is a bar on West Thornvale called the Salty Seagull. And there is a huge fight going on in front of this bar. It seems to be a bar fight that has spilled out in front of the bar. Sammy, I need you to make a sharp roll.
Okay. Hopefully, I have burned all of my bad luck, and I'm now going to have good luck on these rolls.
You should probably knock on some wood.
I'm going to knock on the wood on my desk right now. Okay. Oh,
a 10
plus all right. 2 is 12.
Nice, not bad.
Plus 2, yeah, remember to use the thingies.
Yes.
All right, oh, yeah, so you got a 10. Sammy, as you are driving down the road, and you are getting very slowly past this huge brawl that has broken out in the middle of the freaking day at this bar, And you notice someone in the bar, in the middle of this bar fight. It's your dad.
No! Frick.
What did you
do? I wish I would have failed the roll.
Oh boy.
Oh gosh, I'm trying to think if Sammy would actually do anything about it. She's going to be a little bit more cautious than she was the last arc. I think she's learned her lesson a little bit there. She might try to see if there's any parking available to try and pull off, but she's not going to jump right in or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, this is like down by the sea, so there's like plenty of parking.
Okay. She will park and try to see if there's anyone around who can give her like an explanation for what's going on.
Okay, there's a couple of onlookers that are kind of there. So you see a man and a woman that are just kind of watching this go down.
So Sammy approaches them, and it's just kind of like, has this been going on a while, or?
And they kind of like tear their eyes away from the fight and say, yeah, we were in there for lunch, and then the woman just gestures and then said, and then suddenly everyone just started fighting. Like, I don't understand what's going on. And then her husband looks over and says, I don't know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, Sammy isn't rushing in, is in no rush. what started it?
And the couple kind of looks at each other and says, I don't really know. I mean, one of the men threw a punch, and then someone else threw a punch, and then suddenly everyone was punching.
Do you know for sure who punched first?
And they look into the crowd and look around and say, I have no idea.
Can I read a bad situation?
Yes, you can.
Okay. This will be the one that I fail now.
Are you using your third eye?
I was thinking about
that
it.
That question takes on so much more meaning now.
I know. I think she's still a little nervous about it, so she's not going to use it at this time.
Okay. That's fine.
An 8.
Okay. So you get to ask me, I think, one question.
Okay, let's see. I'm thinking, what's the biggest threat?
Okay. So the biggest threat that you can see without your third eye enabled is there seems to be a very, very large man. I'm saying like close to 7 feet tall. And he is very wide around. And he is wielding what seems to be a table leg. And he's just kind of swinging it.
I'm thinking about calling Bjorn and asking what exactly they saw in the rift.
Well, good luck.
You can do that.
I think I will, actually. I think she's going to pick up her phone and just be like,
Okay, go ahead and play that.
Okay. She's going to pick up her phone and dial Bjorn's number. And she's just staring kind of like, watching. Not really like any like expression, just kind of like
Yeah, as you do this, you can like see your dad get punched by another guy and then go and punch a different guy. Bjorn, your phone rings.
And I look at it and see that it's Sammy, and I pick up and I say, hello, is something wrong? You on the way?
So, what did you see come out of the rift?
Well, we saw small things. They were like no more than like 5 inches. They blinked out of existence really quick. There's a lot of them. They were black, kind of humanoid shaped.
So no 7 foot.
That's all we really caught though.
So no 7 foot man with a table leg.
And then Bjorn's just kind of like, no. Definitely not that. Why? What's going on? And then he kind of like serious. He gets a little more serious. Like, what's going on? Like, he can tell something's wrong.
Then she relays to him that there's a huge bar fight on the street. She does not mention her dad, but that there's a huge bar fight.
Do you know anything about it? I mean, it could just be a bar fight, right?
There doesn't seem to be a good cause. Everyone started fighting each other simultaneously. So I thought that was a bit strange.
So we're gonna have you come here, but honestly, we're kind of just waiting for something to happen, so I guess it couldn't hurt to investigate.
Should I get involved?
I mean, what would you even do?
Sammy, when he asked that, you noticed that the big man with the table leg and your dad are like facing each other and they look like they're about to go at it.
Oh god. Does Sammy take the time to try and save her dad from getting bashed in the face with a table leg?
Choices.
It won't kill him, right? Might be cathartic.
I mean, it's a table leg. Maybe.
That was a joke.
She honestly is probably starting to feel a little bit guilty that she's watched this whole time and not done anything. She's kind of been enjoying seeing her dad get beat up a little bit.
Issues.
But I think at this point she might want to actually step in. So I think she'll just be like, I'll see what I can do, and hang up.
Were you gonna say, Wesley?
It's hilarious the fact that she called in order to tell and possibly enlist Bjorn's assistance with this bar fight, and then he knows to investigate. I was just like, the way she ended that, for some reason I was thinking that he was gonna be standing there like, well, what do I do now?
Oh. yeah
all right,
so
Sammy,
is
you,
tall man about to, like, put a beat down on my dad?
Oh, for sure. Like, your dad looks like he wants to take him, but, like, he's at least a foot shorter.
Is there's nobody else there? Like, no police or anything like that at all?
Not yet.
Ah, frick. This is what happened to me last time. I got involved, and I almost got killed.
Hey,
to be fair, the last time...
At least it's not a priest with
a
stop sign.
There were lots of police around.
True.
It didn't help.
I guess Sammy will walk a little bit closer to the crowd and then try to catch the dude. I can't do it, but catch the dude's attention by putting like her fingers in her mouth and doing like the really loud whistle.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, just a second. I need to know what Bjorn and Henry are doing. I assume they're just going to get there as fast as humanly possible.
Well, Henry was not present for this, or was he?
I guess I need to know what Bjorn is going to do.
Bjorn hears Sammy hang up pretty quickly and decides that, I mean, he's going to get there as fast as he can. He's not going to do anything dangerous because it is just a... In his mind, there's not enough evidence to say it's more than a bar fight, but if she hung up and said I think I'll take care of it or something. What did you say again? I'll see what I can do. And you didn't really sound, like, distressed or anything, right?
No, I think she's just kind of shocked.
I mean, I don't know if Bjorn really has enough to go off of to think that she's in danger. She didn't specifically ask him to come.
Yeah.
I just told her that it wouldn't hurt to keep investigating.
So is he going to come?
No.
Okay. All right, back to Sammy. Sammy, you whistle to get this guy's attention. I think I'm going to make this manipulate someone roll.
Okay. I will roll charm. A 9.
All right. So a 9. So on a 7 to 9 and a manipulate someone, they'll do it, but only if you do something for them right now to show them that you mean it. So you get this guy's attention, but he's not going to not go after your dad unless you give him a reason not to.
Well, she is holding her crossbow, isn't she?
I don't think so.
I left that in my Jeep.
Okay. I was just picturing like a slow-mo leveling at this guy with the crossbow.
No. I think she's gonna try and like taunt him. Just to get his attention away from her dad.
What did she say?
I'm trying to think of exactly how to phrase it.
You gotta include his mom in there somewhere. That always gets him.
Hey, tough guy. Why don't you lay off the drunk and try someone who can actually... Oh, no, that's not bad. That's not good. Hang on. It's like, I want to like try and like make him seem like my dad is a worthless wimp. So I'm trying to diss my dad. like, hey, tough guy, how about fighting someone without alcohol in their system?
Okay, so this guy turns around and he hears tough guy and he assumes it's him. And he turns around and, I mean, immediately it just went from the thing in his vision is your dad to the thing in his vision is you. And this guy charges you with this big freaking huge table leg that he's got. And I need you to roll Act Under Pressure to do something to get out of the way of this guy.
Okay. A 9.
All right, that's another, you just good mixed successes. Yes. All right. I think what happens is that you do roll out of the way of this guy, and this guy just barrels past you, and he actually runs into one of the cars that are trying to like get past them and just like puts a dent in it with his head, but he goes down like a sack of bricks. But another guy that you jump into the path of another one of the brawlers. And this guy turns around and just punches you in the gut as hard as he can. He would do a point of damage, but he won't because you're invincible.
Yes.
Unless you've somehow found a way to turn that off.
I don't think I have.
I don't think you have either. So what do? Your dad just turns around and starts fighting other guys now.
I'm going to try and drag my dad out of there somehow.
Okay, roll Act Under Pressure.
An 8.
All right, so you rolled an 8. I think the only way that I can resolve this is that he's gonna get like a dig in on you. Like you grab him and start like pulling him away. Do you say anything while you do this?
No, I'm probably just gonna grab the back of his shirt collar and tug him.
Okay, so you grab him back and he turns around and he starts kind of like punching at you, and he actually like hits you a couple times. And I imagine you kind of just like turn him back around and just start dragging him away.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It would do damage, but it's not going to because invincibility. I don't like that feat of yours.
Yeah, so she's just definitely going to drag him.
She'll come after you later.
All right, so you drag him away and you get him over to your car, and you would have expected, like, maybe getting him away from it would, like, calm him down, but it has not. Like, he is still absolutely blind with rage. Like, you're not even sure that he's noticed that it's you that is dragging him away.
Interesting. I guess I'm gonna take him back towards the direction of my Jeep where there's less people. Okay. And try to, like, pin him, like, against the side of my car and, like... maybe slap him a couple of times, but like try to like get him out of it, like shake him out of it.
Roll Act Under Pressure.
Thinking that he's like, in, you know, drunk or whatever, just trying to sober him up, I guess is a better word for him.
He's definitely drunk.
Yeah.
He smells like alcohol, like super heavily.
Oh, I got a 5
well,
on that one.
Wamp, wamp.
Ooh.
So I think you get him back to the car and you start to kind of like slap him, and what happens is he finally just like has enough of it, and he like pushes you off of him and mm-hmm. pushes you onto the ground, and then he bolts into the street, and immediately as soon as he does, one of the cars comes screeching to a halt right in front of him and just barely nicks him, just enough to stop him from running, and he collapses onto the ground.
Great. Well, I'm going to go scoop him up out of the road and apologize to the driver. Not really, like, apologize, but just give, like, the hand, you know, like, the excuse me.
you collect him. He's pretty well out at this point. Like, he has like, stopped being crazy.
Okay.
He is now being on the ground.
I might drag him into the back of my Jeep and just kind of, like, all throw right. him into the back.
You toss him into the back of your Jeep. Are you going to throw him in the seat or are you going to throw him in the truck?
I'm going to throw him into the seat, but I don't care if he's on the seat or the floor.
Okay. He's kind of between.
Yeah.
So what do you do with him?
I close the door and I lock him in. And is the fight still happening?
Yep. At this point, I think it's been long enough that a couple of, like, police officers are, like, starting to get there and breaking out some handcuffs and probably, like, I don't know, batons or something.
No tear gas? Come on.
I'm thinking it was a mistake not to use my third eye earlier.
Thornville's a pretty small town.
You can try to use it now if you're thinking maybe something supernatural is going on.
I do. I think I'm going to try and use it.
Okay, read a bet situation. Roll read a bet situation.
An 11.
All right.
Ooh,
all right,
yeah.
So you open up your third eye, this time consciously, for the first time.
Yes.
And you get to ask me 3 read a bet situation questions.
Find all the important information right now so we don't have to be in a mad crunch next time.
That would be investigate a mystery, though.
This yeah.
I know.
Are there any dangers we haven't noticed?
So, as you look around, at first, you really don't notice anything other than what you noticed before. Like, there are people that are fighting. The cops are starting to get in there, and they're trying to, like, tackle these drunk people and get them to the ground. There's only, like, maybe 10 people here. Like, it's not a massive brawl, but it is, like, outside, you know? Like, it went out of the tavern. Not tavern. It went out of the bar, you know? And at first, you really don't notice anything, but then you notice, you realize maybe I should look at the ground. Because Bjorn told you that he saw very small things. And you look at the ground, and you do see a couple of really small little creatures. And they're kind of like running around and kind of like biting at people's ankles. Kind of running around and they like get up in people's faces. Nobody else really seems to notice them. Except for the drunk people. The drunk people definitely react to them.
Is this...
What?
Oh my gosh, I think I know what this is.
Would it be possible for me to capture one of these creatures? Like, grab one?
You can definitely try.
Can I please try?
You can definitely try.
Let me ask... I guess I need to still ask my 2 other questions, though. Unless you want me to wait until I...
Yeah, you should probably ask those other questions.
Okay. What's most vulnerable to me?
The drunk people would probably be the easiest to kind of like get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
The little creatures seem very, very quick.
I'm trying to think what my last question should be. Anyone have any suggestions? Meta?
Which ones have you asked so far again?
Earlier I asked biggest threat and it was the guy with the table leg. So I don't know if I should ask that again with my third eye.
I was gonna say your third eye just lets you see stuff you normally couldn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's getting to ask some questions that she didn't have earlier too. So, she's asked, "What's most vulnerable to me?
Are there any dangers we haven't noticed?"
Yeah.
I mean, all you could really ask, unless you want to ask the biggest threat question again, you could ask, "What's the best way to protect the victims?" And the only other ones are best way in and best way out, and that doesn't really make sense. So.
Best way in might make sense if you're asking specifically how to catch one of these, but that might be too easy.
Yeah, it also might be a bit of a stretch just because normally you can ask, like, if you have the advanced and you do a 12 plus, then you get to, like, ask any question you want as specific as you want. So you can only, like, bend the question so far before Susanna just says you can't ask that. So
I think what's the best way to protect the victims.
So some of the, assuming we're talking about victims being the drunk people,
yes.
the drunk people, some of them seem to have like steak knives or like, other things. So the best way to protect the victims would be to get those things out of their hands so they don't, like, actually kill someone.
Wonderful.
These people are piping mad.
Are the creatures small enough to fit in, like, a Tupperware container?
A hefty one.
I'm trying to think if Sammy would have a container of some sort in her Jeep that she could trap one of them in.
Well, does she do take out much? Because if she does, then maybe she would.
Does she have a backpack?
I could imagine Sammy somehow having, like, maybe you went to the beach earlier in the week during your nice, and you've got, like, I don't know, like a picnic basket or something.
Maybe a cooler?
Yeah, we'll say you have a cooler. Okay. That's something that can lock.
Yes, we'll go with a cooler. She's going to get her cooler out of the back of the Jeep and then lock it again, like lock her dad in the Jeep and then go try to capture one of them.
Okay, describe to me what you're doing to capture one of them.
So they're only on people's, like, on the ground, around people's ankles?
They're, like, crawling all over these people.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, they're just kind of around.
Okay, she's going to see if she can find one, like, perched on a drunk person's shoulder and kind of, like, have her one hand out here and have the cooler balance back here and kind of swat it into the cooler and close the lid.
Roll act under pressure.
Oh, my gosh, if this works. If this actually works.
Bye.
Oh.
Nope. So I think what happens instead is that this creature, you're like kind of sneaking up on this little creature, mm-hmm. and it turns around and it notices that you're like locked onto it, and it kind of it looks kind of shocked for a second. And let me describe what this creature looks like in detail to you real quick. So this is a small 5-inch creature with pale gray skin, a big head, tiny, sharp little teeth. It is wearing clothes that looks like it's made out of, like, black leaves. And as soon as it sees you and it realizes that you notice it, these tiny little black wings sprout out of its back and it jumps on you. It jumps on you and starts, like, chewing, like, on your face.
Oh my gosh.
And it like bites on your face and you would take 2 points of harm. But it just, you can feel its little teeth just like sinking into your skin.
Ow.
Grab it.
I'm gonna grab it off my face.
Okay, roll act under pressure again.
Please?
Grab it and don't let go.
Nine. That's better.
Okay. That is better. So I think on an act under pressure, I think the hard choice that I'm going to give you is that one of the police officers that is helping you or that is helping out here trying to get all these drunk people notices you swatting at invisible things and carrying a cooler. And this time you manage to, like, get this thing off of your face. But this cop notices you and comes over and he like starts motioning for you to, like, back off. And like, and he just kind of says, like, "Hey, if you know what's good for you, you'll get out of here. You don't need to be part of this." And he's just happy to see one person that isn't just stark raving mad. But at the same time, like, you're fighting invisible things. Maybe you should be watched.
Yeah. So do I catch it? But he, like, tells me to go away. Essentially.
No, you hit it off your face. You didn't catch it.
Oh man!
The little creature kind of, like, lands on the ground and scampers off.
I will walk back to my Jeep, but this time I'll... Should I call... Bjorn didn't listen to me last time. Maybe I should call Henry.
You didn't tell him that there was definitely a monster. You told them there was a bar brawl.
I'm just kidding.
Which on West Thornvale at this point he'd know is not uncommon.
I'll go back to my Jeep and lean against my door, like, to make sure that my dad doesn't go anywhere and call Bjorn again.
Okay, he's still in there. Bjorn, your phone rings again.
I see it's Sammy again, and I pick up and I'm like, please tell me something's not going wrong. Please tell me you're okay.
No, I'm fine. I got bit in the face by one of those tiny little critters. So they're down here, and there's a lot of them.
As you say that, Sammy, your dad wakes up behind you, and he starts like kicking at the door, trying to like get it open.
Jordan,
you can respond.
I gotta go.
Wait, what? I'll be right there.
It's fine. Bye.
Wow.
I think with that, I think we're going to have to leave it there.
Oh.